This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for being with us today. Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abele this week officially presented his proposed budget for the coming fiscal year to the county board. The budget amounts to $1.3 billion. It calls for increases in funding for key areas, including the Sheriff's Department and Behavioral Health Division. But it includes neither tax increases for residents nor raises for county employees. Chris Abele joins us in the studio now to go into additional detail on what the budget does and does not include. Welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back.
How stable are the county's finances at this point in time?
Well, not as stable as we'd like, but a lot more stable than they were 4 years ago. And this budget moves it further in the right direction.
Let's talk about some of the individual issues that that crop up in this budget. One of the items that jumps out at a lot of people, in fact, mm-hmm. is the increase that you are reportedly proposing for the sheriff's office to the tune of, I think, another $4 million. This is a department whose budget has been cut in previous years. Do you feel like – has it been cut too much at this point?
Well, actually, I think 2 years ago it was increased. I think, generally speaking, the budget request from the sheriff's office has always been a lot more than what we're able to do. And this year, we weren't able, for instance, to give the $30 million increase that was requested. But as I remind people, we didn't get a $30 million increase from the state, and we have 41 business lines, and they're all coming out of the same budget. So the fact that it was an increase, you know, I felt good about, and it represents the largest in the tax levy increase of all those business lines. But, you know, for 4 years, the continuing theme is we've worked very hard to do better and more with less. And for the third year in a row, we just found out that Child Support Department has again set all-time records in the history of the department for the number of people it's serving. And we have a lot of stories like that. We've added services and we have great examples of people doing more with less. And we've made increases where we can and tried to be targeted. But for the fourth year in a row, we're in a better fiscal position with this budget. We're not increasing the tax levy. And like I say, I've got a better team and we're getting better at what we're doing every year.
So if the mantra has been doing more with less, is the mm-hmm. mantra for some departments this year doing more with a little bit more?
In some cases, yes. So the way I always think about this is and this seems obvious, but I think sometimes folks in government forget this. It's not my money. It's your money. And anytime I'm going to increase the spending for anything, I want to make sure that we're going to be able to deliver more to the taxpayers who are paying for it in return. So when departments that have consistently outperformed and done well and demonstrated that they're going to have a significant return for the investment, ask for a bit more, we do that. A couple of years ago, we started this innovation fund where we said beyond your budget request, all departments, if on top of that you had some one-time infrastructure investment, something we could do for you that would help you do what you do better, what would that be? And we ended up saying yes to a lot of those requests, but that started a culture we're trying to build, which is every department head always thinking, how can we do more and better, and taking some pride in it because we've done some pretty amazing things.
Well, so then let's go back to the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. You said you couldn't provide the full $30 million increase that was requested, but what were some of the most important aspects that you would seek to fund with this $4 million increase that deliver that return on investment?
Well, in his case, it's sort of a different situation because as a constitutionally elected officer, he has control over his budget. We set a number. We can provide suggestions about here's how this could work, which we always do. But at the end of the day, that's up to him. And we saw that there are some places where there was some overtime. We want to help him manage that. He's got some space to add deputies in this budget, which would help him control the overtime. you know, in terms of public safety, one of the things I'm really excited about is we're adding in the district attorney's office two more staff for the witness protection unit. And the reason that's important, it sounds like this quirky thing, but the whole community is talking about the incidence of crime here, and we're trying to focus specifically on where are the needs. And one of the reasons that we sometimes can't close the cases that are the ones your listeners probably want most closed are because witnesses are afraid to testify. It's a very real thing. And if witnesses are afraid to testify, don't show up in court, we can't close a case. So the purpose, as it sounds, of this unit, witness protection, is exactly that, to protect witnesses so they can show up, tell their story, get the accountability, and we can close these cases. We also have created a violent crime task force in the DA's office, and this is to focus on non-fatal gun crimes, not entirely but mostly, with the idea being to help MPD, to help prosecutors, to help courts have cases that are closable, to get all the details. One of the issues that comes up a lot in the criminal justice system is everybody's strained for resources. Everybody's doing the best they can, but we need to focus on, okay, where are the gaps? Where are the places where we can just add a little more service and help everybody do better together? And that's what this represents, this investment. Last year, we added two staff in the DA's to help with child support. And it seems like a small thing, but it's made a huge impact. Some people may have seen – there was the story on the news about the guy we arrested in L.A. driving to a country club in his Mercedes, clearly able to pay the $250,000 of child support he owned. But to me, the story isn't that. The story is that got a lot of press and a lot of visibility. And after that, a lot of the people who were behind in child support started getting in touch with our child support department, and maybe because they didn't want to be on TV. The goal is about the outcome. And I think we had 340 incidents of people calling up, about $34,000 we collected of back child support because we have that capacity. So we're getting a lot of return for these very targeted investments. And that's been our approach with pretty much everything.
The other area that is often under a microscope is the behavioral health division. Mm-hmm. And there's a significant increase, I think, somewhere in the $3 million range for that division. Oversight for that department is now in the hands of an independent board. How did that group play a role in shaping this budget request?
Sure. Well, as you allude to, this was the first year that that board, the new Milwaukee County Mental Health Board, approved that budget. The board is still a fairly new group. The good news is it is comprised of people who know this field, who have a lot of expertise, who know the different organizations that provide care, who know the providers, who know budgets, who know treatment, and their focus is entirely on what's the best care, not on politics or, you know, who wins or loses. So they had the budget reported out to them by the administration out there. You know, they had their process and they voted to approve the budget. We still present it to the Milwaukee County Board, but
the county board can't touch that item.
Correct.
Once it's been right. Okay.
Correct. The increase, though, is because in the past, Health and Human Services as a department would typically surplus every year and BHD would typically deficit and they'd always just do a fund transfer. This is something that had been going on for years before I got there. So we tried to address that just so we're not doing this little game every year. And I wanted to make sure we're setting the first budget for this independent group and that they had, you know, we were resourcing them as much as they needed. So again, you're going to see increased investment in community capacity there, which has continued. And a lot of our other departments increasingly are focused on how can their work help the work of other departments. That's another big theme we've continued for 4 years, departments helping each other out in collaborations.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, your budget would also see the county gaining revenue from the sale of both the O'Donnell Park parking structure and the county transit center along mm-hmm. the lakefront. There's some in the community who would like to see those properties remain in public hands rather than sold for private development. How much of the equation, in your eyes, is the dollars and cents bottom line to the county?
Well, sure. So broadly, one of the reasons for a few years I've been talking about the investments we make in the big facilities we have, whether it's O'Donnell Parking Garage, City Campus, the Transit Center, is the debt we have at the county, which, you know, while better than it was, is still very large, and it's the single biggest cause in cuts in service year after year. There are two big sources of debt. One is the legacy and pension costs. The other is borrowing from bonding that we do for capital maintenance. So every time we can take – in this case, you'll see in our budget, we're taking down City Campus. We're moving the staff that's there into a better facility. They're going to like it. That saves $500,000 a year. We demolish it. That's in the budget so development can happen. We worked with the community. But it's one less building that requires maintenance and lots of borrowing to maintain every year. Similarly, with O'Donnell Parking Garage, the idea is there's still going to be a parking garage. There's still going to be public access. It'll be better maintained. $5 million comes from the transaction, which will go specifically into parks. That's our proposal to help catch up on capital. We have less capital costs. We have one less thing to maintain and borrow for. When we sell the transit center, I mean, again, it's a big empty concrete bus barn. You probably shouldn't have – taxpayers shouldn't be paying to maintain this thing as they do in capital costs. And we're going from that to all these things on the property tax roll, creating jobs in what's being replaced and essentially turning off the debt faucets, as I like to call them. So the idea of getting out of the ownership business of buildings that are expensive to maintain means more of your money into services and less into, you know, debt and maintenance. And in terms of the parking garage, again, the amount of land that County Parks has is actually increased in the 4 years I've been here. And ironically, in no small part due to NML, because we did a transaction with them down in Franklin where we had some land that was more agrarian. They had some land that was sort of trees and old growth forests, the sort of stuff we want to protect. We did a trade. We get the stuff that's worth protecting, more of it. They get stuff that's less in our purview. And here, you know, again, it's a parking garage. It's not a park. It will still be maintained. It'll have more amenities. I think this is a win-win-win.
Well, and speaking of parks, let me ask you this. You know, people are often concerned about deferred maintenance issues facing county parks. How does this budget address the infrastructure concerns in the park system, and how much of that budget depends on the potential sale of the O'Donnell Park parking structure in order to fund that kind of work?
Well, we actually have millions in the budget, the capital budget again, for parks, for capital maintenance, but none of that depends on the sale of O'Donnell. You've probably heard me say this before. I budget for the apocalypse. The goal, though, is always, you know, unprecedented, deliver the best service we can. But I don't bank on a dime of money that's not guaranteed. So our budget assumes no revenue, you know, so I'm not assuming that that'll happen. If it does, that's $5 million on top of what's already in the capital budget for parks, $5 billion more. And actually, the proposal from parks is to take that $5 million and put it in essentially a parks capital matching fund, because John, our Dargill, our parks director, who's been great and built a lot of great relationships in the community, has had success before in other park systems he's worked with in leveraging more outside support by having a matching fund. And we love the idea.
Well, and finally, one of the issues that that we have talked about in the past and in past conversations with analysts such as the Public Policy Forum, we've discussed is the idea of public employee salaries and how far back salaries and benefits can be cut until you hit bone and really start to lose people. How does this budget address issues of salary equity between the public sector and the private sector?
Sure. That's a great question. So every year, one of the sort of big debates is there's the 4,000 or so employees at the county and the issue of retaining them and treating them fairly and respectfully. Then there's the million people in the county who are serving, who are paying for this government and who government exists for. And in the past, for instance, when I got there, transit service every single year, you know, routes were cut, fares were raised. Every year I've been here, we haven't done that. In fact, this year, once again, we're not raising fares. We're actually adding almost a million miles of new service. Last year, we lowered paratransit fares. And that's 151,000 riders every day. So the 4,000 employees, the last couple of years we have in my budget included increases in base pay, 2% and then a 3% in my proposed budget. They got dialed back by the board. But, you know, healthcare costs to us continue to go up. And when that happens, either it gets passed on to the taxpayer or services get cut, or we say, hey, employees, you've got to, you know, pick up your share of this. So it's a balance. I will say this, though. In the past, when this issue has come up, one of the things that's been said by people who feel we should be doing more for the employees is, you know, you're going to lose all sorts of employees and people have left. Well, every year that hasn't happened. I am incredibly proud of the staff we have. I'm incredibly proud of what they're doing the last few years. And I think the community should be too when you look at just how much we've improved services. But you know, the big source of our budget isn't me per se. It's folks 90 miles west of here in Madison. And that's not just the county. That's the city. It's MPS. It's UWM. And, you know, as I said when you asked about the sheriff's budget, you know, they asked for an increase of $30 million. Well, I didn't get $30 million more from the state, and it's got to come from somewhere. So we try to be the best balance of fair and respectful and clear and transparent with our staff. We don't have furlough days. You know, we haven't. We got rid of those a while ago. You know, would I like to be able to do more? I wish we were getting more shared revenue from the state. Like, incidentally, like we used to, not just the county, the city too. But in the meantime, I feel like the last couple of years we've been able to increase the base anyway. We've been trying to move towards performance-based pay. We're definitely doing more performance budgeting. All employees get evaluations. We do management training. Every department measures what they do. These are all things that seem basic, but we didn't used to do them, and we do now. You know, I feel good about what we're proposing, and I think the county will too.
Chris Abele, thanks so much.
Always great to be here, Mitch. Thanks.
Chris Abele is Milwaukee County Executive. You'll find full details of his proposed county budget for the coming fiscal year at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. A short break now, and when we return, a Milwaukee television producer shares the story of a program premiering tonight about bridging the divide still left in Milwaukee by the Vietnam War more than four decades after its end. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.